You can take your Bibles tonight, and you can go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And in verse 12 is where we'll begin. And tonight I want to take a little look at what the Bible says about a Greek word called tupos. Tupos, which is an example, or a pattern, or a blow, meaning like when you strike something and it leaves an imprint. Okay? This word is pretty cool. In 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example, a tupos, of the believers." So be an example of someone who believes God in word and what you say, in conversation, which is in how you behave, in charity, which is in love. The words "in spirit" are not in the critical Greek text, so you can cross them out. In faith, meaning in believing, and in purity, which is your overall quality. And so God here says that we can be a pattern, that we can be an example in a multitude of ways, right? In what we speak and how we act and how we believe and how we love and in our overall quality. Right? God wants us to reflect these things to other people. And examples can come from a multitude of sources, right? Most of the time, an example is from some other place, right? Even if you become an example, it's because you saw an example. And that's why it's considered a pattern, because that person might have done something that you're like, oh, that's cool, I'm going to emulate that. And then you start to do it, and then someone else sees you do it, and they think, oh, that's a really cool way to live. I'm going to do that, right? So we want to make sure that our example, our pattern, is one that originates or stems from God's word. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Because if our pattern originates with God's word, then we are sure it's a good one. Then we're sure it's a pattern worth upholding. 2 Thessalonians 3, and we're going to start in verse 10. It says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he what? Eat." So that was what they told them to do. That was their instruction. Those were their words. If any would not work, then they shouldn't eat. Well, why did they tell them this? Verse 11. "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly." The word disorderly is undisciplined. They walk undisciplined. Not according to the word. "Working not at all." Not lifting a finger. And not at all means not at all. They were not even kind of half working. They just weren't working. "But instead are busybodies." Right? They were just spending their time being busybodies. "Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." Right? And so that was the instruction, the teaching that was given to them. You need to work if you want to eat, right? Stop mooching, stop being a busybody, and work. So we're going to start at the beginning of the chapter now with that in mind and read what came before it. It says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith or believing." Right? Do we know people who are not believers? Sure we do. Lots of them. Right? So pray for us that we may be delivered from these kinds of people. Verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful, whom shall establish you and keep you from evil? And we have confidence in the Lord touching or concerning you, that you both do and will do the things which we what? Command you. And we saw some of the things that they taught them and commanded them. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and that's the same word, undisciplined, and not after the tradition which he received of us, or the instruction that he received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly or undisciplined among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, meaning without paying for it or free of charge. We didn't eat other people's stuff free of charge, but wrought or worked with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable or a burden to any of you. Not because we have not power. And the word power there is authority, meaning the right to do it. He's saying not because we don't have authority or the right to do it. As the spiritual leaders, as men of God, it was their right or privilege for them to be taken care of in this manner, right? That the people that they were working on behalf of and teaching and instructing would take care of them, would provide them with food, that kind of thing. But not because we have not power. That's why we didn't choose to work it ourselves. But the reason they did it was to make ourselves an example, or an ensample, which is an example, unto you to follow us. Right? And that's that tupos. Right? They wanted to be good examples to these people. Right? They wanted to walk the talk that they were teaching. Right, it was their right to be taken care of by this community, to just be fed of them. But they worked because there were people in that group and in that community that needed to learn that that's what they were supposed to do too. And how were they going to teach these people, hey, if you don't work, you don't eat, and meanwhile they weren't working themselves, right? So they were carrying forward the pattern of that good word that God wanted them to share and to instruct them to the people. Right, there are good examples and there are bad examples. And Paul and Timothy did these things so that they could be good examples. And so the people they were instructing would know how to do God's word, that they could learn from it. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. First Thessalonians 1 and verse 2. So sometimes being an example means, you know, doing the things that you don't normally aren't required to do, but you do it so that you can show forth a pattern that other people can follow. In 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2, it says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, right? What they were sharing wasn't just talk, wasn't empty words, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit and in much assurance. They really meant it. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And that word were is became. As you know what manner of men we became, we made ourselves this manner of person, this pattern to follow for your sake so that you could learn from us. Right? They set an example. People knew what they were about. They saw what those people did. Right? What are you about in your life? What do you demonstrate to other people? right? There are lots of things that make up our personalities, and those are good things, but those shouldn't be first. People should know that you're a son of God. People should know that you believe God. That's what people should know about you first. It's great to know that you're a good football player or a really great cook or baker or whatever, but they should know first and foremost that you're a son of God, what you're about, right? You're a son of God who happens to be a good baker or happens to be good at football. Verse 6, and you became followers of us, right? And that's what being an example or a two post is about. Giving somebody something to follow, a pattern to follow. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, right? There was a lot of pressure around them. The word that they were receiving, it wasn't necessarily just a comfortable situation, but they received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that we were examples to all that believe, ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, right? And that's that word tupos again. They became example. They followed them. They had an example, and they became examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out, right? It sounded out. It echoed forth the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Right? So they became that example to the point where the word that they were speaking really moved. And that Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, who are the ones mentioned at the beginning of this book, they didn't have to do anything, right? They didn't have to move that word because these folks in Thessalonica were doing it, following their example. Verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Right? So they're saying, we saw in you the pattern that we gave you, and we saw the results of that pattern. For they themselves, the people they spoke the word to, show us, Paul and Timothy and Silvanus, what manner of entering in we had unto you. Right? They could see that the things they taught them had an effect, and that they were following those same things, right? Because of the example that they had set. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3:17. Philippians 3:17 says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. And that mark is to like identify and stick with and be close to and associate with, right? So his instruction was, you know, I've given you an example, be followers together with me and associate with and fellowship with those who walk the same way, who follow after that example. Right? And we have great examples to learn from, right? We have great examples to learn from. And our best example is Jesus Christ. Go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. We've all been taught by great fellowship coordinators throughout the years. We've got great reverends in Harbor Light that we've learned from. Going way back, we had Dr. Werwol and other folks in the Way Ministry who taught us the word rightly divided. And we've carried that example for 80 years now, right? First 40 years of Dr. Werwol's ministry up until the point where, you know, he fell asleep, and we've been carrying that forth another 40 years, right? Because of the example. In John chapter 13, verse 12, It says, so after he had washed their feet, speaking of Jesus Christ, this is at the end of the Last Supper, right before he's about to be crucified. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Do you understand what I just did? You call me Master and Lord and say, well, for so I am. You know, that's right, I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Right? Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God. He is perfect. Right? If anybody could get away with having other people do stuff for him, it was Jesus Christ. But he gave an example to his apostles at this Last Supper. One of the last things he was to teach them was how to serve and how to love, right? How to serve and how to love, right? Washing someone else's feet was a servant's job. It was a very low positional job, right? And he did it for all of them. And he said, this is the example that I want to leave to you. Right? And it was an example of service and love for them to follow. In chapter 14, next page over, verse 12. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, right? So we can do the same things Jesus Christ did and greater, right? And greater. We can speak in tongues and interpret. That was not something that was available. We can lead people into the new birth. That was not something that was available. But we can also do the things that he did, which means that we can see signs, miracles, and wonders. We can walk with love. We can be that compassionate and be and love that big. We can be examples of Christ to those around us, right? We can carry forth that same pattern that he showed. Go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And I think that's why this ministry has stood for as long as it has. It's because we've had great examples and we've kept things relatively simple, right? We believe God's word. And that's what we keep first. And that's the example that we set forth. And that always works. Titus 2, verse 1. Titus 2, 1 says, but I speak thou the things which become... Oh, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So that's the instruction. Speak things according to God's word that are sound doctrine. The result being that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith or believing, in love, in patience. The aged women, likewise, the grown women, that they in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise, in a similar fashion, exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern, or tupos, same word, a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, you know, being serious about it, and sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. So in all things, show thyself a pattern, an example of good works. And in the words that you speak, in the doctrine that you share, uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. And that's the thing about truth. It can't be condemned. It doesn't need a defense because there's no poking holes in it. And it says in the rest of that verse that he that is of the contrary part, so the people that would otherwise oppose you or stand against what you have to say, may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Right? When you speak and hold forth truth, and that is your example, people are not going to find a single bad thing to say about you. They can't poke holes in it, right? Because it is the truth. And that's the example that we want to carry forth. They can't throw dirt on it because it's truth and because it's sound in the way that we walk and talk. Go to Philippians chapter 2. And we don't always walk perfectly, and sometimes we screw up. But it's good to know that when you walk according to the word, when you speak truth, people can't find a bad thing to say about you. And how often have we seen that people who might be negative or people who might want to oppose us are turned around by those examples and see the way that we walk and are flabbergasted by the love that we demonstrate, to the point where it makes a difference and it makes a change. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is at work in you to want to do these things and to carry them out that way. Therefore, verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, right? Don't push back on it. Don't argue with it. Just go ahead and do it. The result, verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Okay, again, same concept. You're blameless. People can't rebuke you because it's truth. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Right? And that shine as lights is to reflect God's light, right? And a reflection is just another version of a tupos, or an example, right? If you were to take a mirror and reflect something, what you see in the mirror is what you see with what is being seen in the mirror is what's on the outside of the mirror, right? It's a reflection of what's actually there. So we want to reflect God's light. We want to be that example of God's light. And then beginning of verse 16, holding forth the word of life, right? That's what we have to share. God works in you to reflect his light, to be an example of his light, and to hold forth that word of life. The thing that's going to change people's lives, we have the opportunity to hold forth. Go to 1 John chapter 4. We'll close here. 1 John chapter 4. So we want to leave a mark. We want to leave an imprint. That's what a tupos is. When you think about a typewriter and it smacks that key on the paper, it leaves that mark. That letter A that's on that key is what's on that paper, right? It's the same. We speak the same. We speak the truth. We're the example. 1 John 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Right? And it's Christ in us. That's who's greater. We have God and Christ in us. That's the greater spiritual reality. They are of the world. We know some of those people. Therefore, speak they of the world. And the world what? Hears them, sure. And sometimes it might feel like we're alone on an island here, right? The world is talking about this, that, and the other thing, and everybody's agreeing with them. Well, that's because they're of the world, and the world hears them. And that's the pattern they're putting forth. That's the echo chamber they're stuck in. But it's of the world. Verse 6, we are of who? God. That's way better than being of the world. He that knoweth God hears who? Us. Right? So the people who want to know God or who know God, they're going to hear us. Those are the people who are going to notice. He that is not of God heareth not us. Okay? So don't be surprised if you speak the word and you reflect that light and somebody doesn't pay attention to it or rejects it. That's going to happen. But we just keep doing it. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We have the spirit of truth. You can't poke holes in it. And then verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows by experience, gnosko, knows God. So we have Christ in us. We're to be a spiritual example rooted in love. Ultimately, that's what it needs to be rooted in, is love. Let us love one another, because love is of God, and that's what's going to shine through. So we want to be that pattern for people to follow. We want to set forth a good example for people to see, right? And we want to hold forth the truth and that word of life so that other people have the opportunity to hear it and to get blessed and get born again too.